the rest of the story. Charlie Byrne was born in Littlebridge, Ireland. He was happy there. He should have stayed. But instead, wanderlust began to nag at Charlie. There was so much of the world that he had not seen. Edinburgh, London. Charlie's friends warned him, of course, beneath the elegant veneer of the 18th century, there was crime, deception, many pitfalls for a country boy. Charlie heard, but he didn't listen. In his late teens, he set out for Scotland, there to begin a sightseeing tour, which would end in terror. For somewhere along the way, a stranger would take up his path, would follow in Charlie's footsteps, at a distance, in the shadows. What this stranger was after is the rest of the story. Charlie Byrne, young Irishman with an unquenchable thirst for travel, began to satisfy that thirst at a most exciting time in English history. He was merely a country boy who, like the bear, was determined to see the other side of the mountain. Once in Edinburgh, he journeyed south through England, arrived in London April 11, 1782. Shortly thereafter, began to notice that he was being followed. The man shadowing him was a stranger, a rather ordinary-looking fellow who kept his distance, tried to remain inobtrusive. In fact, his omnipresence was so apparently coincidental at first that the youthful traveler paid little attention, continued about his business. For a while, Charlie worked at a cane shop. When occasionally he would glance out the window, there was that stranger stalking him. Now and then, Charlie would visit a local pub with his newfound London friends, and there, at a corner table, would be the stranger. Charlie was curious, but he would not approach the man. Instead, he went to the police. But nothing was gained. The authorities told Charlie that there was no law against one man being in the same place as another man at the same time. He'd best forget the whole thing. So now for Charlie, with no legal protection or recourse in the matter, curiosity gave way to fear. He left his apartment in Spring Gardens. He sought rooms elsewhere, first a flat above a confectionery in Charing Cross. Surely the stranger would not follow him there, but the stranger followed him there. Next, Charlie moved to an apartment in Piccadilly. Certainly his mysterious pursuer would now tire of the chase. But one evening, as Charlie was coming home from the market, he spied at the end of the street, gazing nonchalantly into a shop window, that same man who had been his silent, distant companion for so many months. Charlie's days were numbered on earth. In desperation, he began drinking heavily. He contracted tuberculosis. His physical condition, along with his spirits, declined rapidly. And at 22, he was dead. And the mysterious stranger followed him to the last, to carry out his duty. For you see, the man who had been Charlie's shadow through a half dozen residences and every byway in old London town had been hired in his pursuit by England's foremost surgeon, John Hunter. You see, in the event of Charlie's death, there would be a ferocious medical competition to claim the body. John Hunter wanted to make certain that he was the first. For Charlie Byrne, the country boy who left home to see what he could see, had not considered it significant that he was 8 feet 2 inches tall. Nor had he ever imagined that someday his worth would be measured in the length of his skeleton, and that in the end he would be sought after only for his bones. And now you know the rest of the story.